shoes. I said, Mike Brown, first you snooze, now you lose. And it's time you got a few clues. Mike Brown, you've got egg on your face. And Dick Cheney sent you home in disgrace. You responded at a tortoise's pace. So it's time that you were replaced. Because you messed up the FBMA. You really messed up the FBMA. When a hurricane comes, you just sit on your thumbs in your office in Washington. You really messed up the FBMA. You really messed up the FBMA. You were not qualified. On your resume you lied. You should work at Kentucky Fried. To help folks in need and respond to a big emergency, but now it's part of Homeland Security, so it's a big bureaucracy. So let's not give them any slack, because FEMA should have all of our backs in case there is another terrorist attack. We don't want it run by some hack. FBMA, you really messed up the FBMA. When a hurricane comes, you just sit on your thumbs in your office in Washington. You really messed up the FBMA. You really messed up the FBMA.
Now, there's a song we produced at the Paul Harris Band a couple of weeks ago, and Mike Brown's name was in the news, and not on a resume, which I'm sure it is these days, looking for a new gig since he's been kicked out of FEMA. If you just missed it, I was talking with a reporter from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, a newspaper that's done a great investigation of what happens to money that the Federal Emergency Management Agency is supposed to be spending whenever there is a disaster like Katrina. They looked back at 5 years from 1999 to 2004 and turned up massive fraud and waste in the wake of Hurricane Francis and other disasters that struck not just where they are in South Florida, but the wildfires in California and all over the place. You know, they found that people in Watts in downtown Los Angeles were getting $5 million in assistance for wildfires that happened 25 miles away. That people in Miami-Dade County got $31 million in claims paid off, even though Hurricane Francis was 100 miles away from them. People had funerals paid for whose deaths had nothing to do with natural disasters that FEMA would have any jurisdiction over. And on and on and on. $330 million, maybe as much as $400 million in taxpayer dollars spent for storms that never occurred or issues that were miles away from disaster zones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, why does that happen? Why are your dollars and mine being squandered? Well, that comes down to the economics of FEMA, which was the title of a paper written 2 years ago by Russell Sobel, who is an economics professor at West Virginia University, and he wrote it with one of his PhD students by the name of Tom Garrett, who is now at the Federal Reserve Bank here in St. Louis. I've asked Professor Sobel to join me here on the show and explain a little bit of this. Russell, welcome to KMOX.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for having me.
So are the numbers that we are talking about in this Sun Sentinel report, are they even close to the kind of numbers that you found in your report?
Actually, believe it or not, they're a little bit smaller because we studied a little bit different aspect of the problem.
What was that?
Well, one of the things that I think they're doing a great job of highlighting is the fraud and the waste that happens in the spending and some of the spending that happens in spillover districts. In our study, which we used data from 1991 to 99, so a little bit earlier period, we looked at two particular things. Number one is, does the president tend to declare disasters in states that are more important to him politically, especially during re-election years, for things like severe thunderstorms and severe snowstorms. Your listeners might not know it, but the vast majority of all the FEMA money that's given out and the disasters that are declared are not for major storms like hurricanes. A lot of what they do is severe snowstorms, and we've got an example that we cite in one place where there was a 2-foot snowstorm in Ohio last winter, and it was declared a disaster, and they got millions of dollars for that.
Now, hold on a second there, because you also said severe thunderstorms, and we're very familiar with that here in the Bi-State. In fact, we had some roll through here last night. Trees were down. Some people still are without power today. Are you telling me that federal money is going to be pouring into our area because of that?
It would depend on how important your state is politically to the president in the electoral process, is what I'm saying. The presidents, if you look just at election years versus non-election years, it's a horrible year for the weather. If you just look over the last 3 or 4 presidential re-elections, it's horrible. We have like twice as many disasters declared during those years as every other year. And so what we did is the first step was to look at this disaster declaration process, because it's pretty much at the discretion of the president as to whether to declare a disaster. There's no rules he has to follow. So what we found is that he's declaring, it's not just Bush. I mean, this goes back throughout the entire 1990s, that the presidents tend to treat or reward, states who are important to them politically with additional disasters. And that means additional disaster relief.
This is why politicians of all parties drive me crazy. Doesn't matter whether it was a Democratic president or a Republican president, they're going to fund the areas that can help them the most.
And then the second part of our study, which is actually a little bit bigger, probably dollar amount-wise, is that every government agency has an oversight committee in Congress that oversees them. And we looked at whether states who have representatives on the FEMA oversight committees tend to get more money conditional on having a disaster. So you control for the severity of the disaster and say, suppose the same disaster hits 2 different geographic areas, but one of the areas has a representative on the FEMA oversight committee in the House of Representatives. It turns out that they tend to get significantly more money conditional on a disaster. So the amount of money you get depends on whether or not that FEMA has to curry favors with your representative from your district.
And this is what should be driving Americans crazy, and I think does drive Americans crazy, because we hate this game of politics. Instead of having people in power helping people who really need it, they are helping themselves politically.
Right. And I think that the big danger that we face here is that, you know, something like FEMA and disaster relief, we tend to think of our government as playing a role there to help us out. But then we tend to forget that you and I and everybody listening knows that a lot of what government does is very political. And the spending, I mean, almost all the directors of FEMA for the last 20 years have been political appointees with no experience in disaster relief.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a political process. Government spending is inherently a political game. And FEMA is no different than any other government agency in that regard with respect to highway funding and those other issues that are also determined politically.
All right. You mentioned the word oversight in there, committees that have oversight of FEMA. Doesn't appear to me that there is a lot of oversight. I mean, we were talking to the reporter from the Sun Sentinel, and it doesn't seem like there's anybody doing oversight of the inspectors and the claims process in some of these places that don't deserve to get money but still are. And it seems to me like there's no oversight of the dollars that are flowing towards these areas in your study either.
Well, that's exactly right. And I'll tell you what, it's not just a problem in FEMA. It's a problem in government in general. The Pentagon, for example, has lost about $5 billion. I was reading some article not too long ago. I mean, they can't even keep up with their own money. And, you know, nobody is as careful when they're spending other people's money as when they're spending their own hard-earned money. And that's not just true for individuals, but say the American Red Cross, which is a private sector nonprofit relief organization. You know, they have to go out for every dollar they get, and they have to ask for donations and get, you know, where our government gets taxpayer money that just is allocated to them. And they just the chains of responsibility and accountability in government are just not as strong as they are in the private sector. I work for a public university, and I can tell you, you know, the end of the year budget problems, you know, when you got money left in your budget at the end of the year, everybody goes out and wastes it. I mean, that's the way government works, and FEMA is no different than any other government agency.
Oh, I've even known offices where they were told, look, you didn't spend as much this year as you did last year, so we're going to give you less for the upcoming year. And so people will say, well, you know what? We'll just spend more. Even if we go over budget, we can then go back and say, you see, we need more, and we'll end up getting it. And that's what happens in politics.
No, I agree 100%. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity for us to look and to try to do some reform to FEMA. I think that, actually, it's maybe not even reforming FEMA, but doing away with them. I mean, it's bad enough when our government can't go in and help the people. But I think the thing that's most troubling about FEMA's role in this recent disaster is that there's so many accounts of people who were trying to offer help who were not being able to get approval from FEMA to go in and help. It wasn't that there wasn't enough relief supplies and resources available to help those people. It's that we couldn't get those resources there because of FEMA. They actually turned away people. They wouldn't give people approval to go in. I think the disaster is that FEMA has too much authority. It's not that we need more centralization and control. It's that we need more decentralization. We need to allow, some sheriff from Illinois who has a rescue team to be able to drive down there and start saving people without having to get FEMA's approval.
Do you think you can politically get rid of FEMA?
I don't know. I think that this. I think we've got an opportunity right now because of how horribly FEMA did to actually do some. I don't know. To make a push for taking a look at disaster relief as a whole and saying how could we more effectively, how could we more effectively deliver disaster relief? The American Red Cross was kept out of there for 3 days. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's stuff like that is just not right.
Absolutely.
And, especially when FEMA's not helping themselves.
Would there be a way, if you don't eliminate FEMA, to depoliticize it?
It's really hard to depoliticize government agencies. My co-author, who does work for the Federal Reserve Bank, is an example of something that's kind of an autonomous agency that's kind of related to the government but not subject to the same political pressures.
Right.
That would be one example, the Federal Reserve System, that is kind of government-related but more immune from the political pressures. I think that to a great extent, what we need to do is take some real careful looks at what aspects of disaster relief we could do in the private sector. Not necessarily through government contracting, because that's subject to all the Halliburton problems.
Yes.
But, I mean, what we're talking about here is letting the American Red Cross and other private nonprofits, along with places like Lowe's and Home Depot and Walmart, who have stepped up unbelievably well in this disaster. Even the anti-Walmart sites are saying Walmart did a great job.
Yep.
We could have the Chicago Board of Exchange volunteering traders to help go into an office to help handle all the calls of people coming, offering assistance and who needs what. I mean, if we can do commodities exchanges in Chicago, the private sector can, we can manage people calling to give help and getting them to where they need to be.
Hey, here in the St. Louis area, KMOX was involved in a thing with Catholic Charities. I mean, a private charitable organization put something together to help those people who had evacuated from the Gulf Coast who are moving to our area, and we're going to need homes and we're going to need supplies and temporary and long-term help and all sorts of things. That was not done through the federal government. That was done through local people stepping up and saying, you know what? We've decided we're in charge of this and we're going to give out our phone number. And it worked from the grassroots up that way. So maybe there is a way to cut off the head and let the rest of the body run around and do its job.
Well, let me throw one little suggestion out to you. Nobel Prize-winning economist Friedrich Hayek, more than 50 years ago, wrote an article about, this is back during the debate about socialism versus capitalism, but it's funny, I reread that article because I'm writing another article on FEMA. You could have written that today with regard to FEMA, because what the point he makes in that article is that the real economic problem society faces is dealing with localized knowledge and information. There's people at the convention center. Who knows that? Who knows where people need help? Who is it that's sitting somewhere that says, wow, I have some sort of sophisticated rescue equipment or some sort of cellular communication device that I could bring to bear on that? It's a bunch of people who could supply resources, most of whom are small people who only know themselves that they can do that. You've got a lot of people who need help, and all that knowledge is localized, and you cannot try to run all that through one person or one agency. It's much better to let the market system or the private sector do it, because in the private sector you have the one-on-one, more decentralized nature of things.
Very, very well said. Professor, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
Well, Paul, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Professor Russell Sobel, the economics professor at West Virginia University and co-author of a piece 2 years ago on the economics of FEMA. See, all of this stuff has been out there for a couple of years, and just now we need to bring it to light, and people need to start paying attention to this sort of stuff, and there have to be changes made, and maybe it is time to cut the head off of this thing and go from there. It's the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.